Hey guys, welcome back to Real Estate Investing in New York with me, Christina Kramidis. And in this episode, we are going to be discussing how the biggest real estate websites work. So stay tuned, we're covering everything here. In the last episode, we talked a lot about the buyer's agent and the role that they have in a purchaser's transaction when it comes to real estate in New York City. In this episode, I'm going to be giving you more information on how often you actually are running into the buyer's agent in a transaction before you have your specific buyer's agent actually solidified, and tips and tricks on how to navigate to make sure that you have a successful experience while you are viewing properties in the early stages of your apartment search. So by now you understand the value of the buyer's agent and why it's important to work with the best possible buyer's agent to ensure your success when you're buying property. But what you might not know is just how often you're coming across random buyer's agents until you end up deciding who your buyer's agent is going to be. And a big part of this is the way that the biggest real estate websites actually function. So whether you're looking at properties, you might be in the early stage of your search, you might be viewing properties online, and you may have not even made any appointments yet to view in person. But let's say you're scrolling on any website, let's say Zillow, StreetEasy, for example, Realtor, Apartments.com, any of these websites. These sites all work the same way. They're aggregating listings from the real estate company's website. So they're receiving listings from Douglas Elliman, they're receiving listings from Compass, they're receiving listings from Keller Williams, all of the real estate companies that are bringing listings to the market. Those listings are also being displayed on these consumer-facing websites like StreetEasy and Zillow to show all of the listings from every different company in one place. This provides a great user experience for shoppers. So if you're looking for apartments, you feel like you can trust that most of the inventory is going to be properly displayed for you so that you can find an apartment that you like by scrolling on any of these websites. And this does tend to be the case. Now, what's interesting about how these websites work, if you're not expecting it, is that when you finally find a property that looks good to you, let's say you find a property or a listing online that seems to meet your criteria, and now you'd like to actually ask a question about it or schedule time to go see it, or maybe just swing into an open house. While you're on that property listing, you are going to click on any of the buttons that are like call to action buttons on that listing. It might say schedule a showing. It might say ask a question. It might say speak to an agent. It might say attend an open house. It might, the buttons that are on these listings might say any of these things. And you would assume that since this is what it's saying, the inquiry that you send is going directly to the seller or the broker representing the seller so that you can successfully get access to that apartment or simply get your question answered. But this is actually not what's happening. And it's not because there's anything fishy going on, so don't get too alarmed, but there's a reason why it's happening, and I'm going to explain this to you. So we talked in the last episode about the buyer's agent, the role of the buyer's agent, and how you really want to think about your agent in your transaction, whether you're on the buy side or the sell side, as your trusted advisor, right? This is someone that's working just for you, just on your side of the deal. So if you're the buyer, you want the best price and you want the best terms of the deal to be in your favor. And we talked about how the real estate agents in a transaction, you would kind of want to see them the same way you view the attorneys in a transaction, where let's say you're walking into a courtroom, you're not going to work with the attorney that's representing the opposing side. You're just never going to do it. Inherently, it wouldn't make sense to you. So it works the same exact way when it comes to choosing your broker. So when you, as a buyer, show that you are interested in a listing on any of these websites, they all work the same way. These websites are not linking you up directly with the seller's representation, because that would be putting you in touch with someone that is not working for you. So when a buyer is working directly with the seller's agent on a property, this is actually called dual agency in New York. And this is something that is illegal without being properly disclosed to both parties, that they are dealing with a representative that is working two different sides at once. And how good can someone really successfully do that, right? If someone wants a high price and someone wants a low price, how are you representing both sides? So this is one of the reasons why these websites link you up with someone different when you click and express interest in a property. So now with that said, who is the person that they're linking you up with? So they are attempting to link you up with a qualified real estate agent who you will end up using to be your dedicated buyer's agent. So when you express that you're interested in a property and you submit a message in any way, shape, or form, view an open house or click any of the prompts that are on that listing, your request is going to a buyer's agent that website has identified is proficient in either the building or the listing that you're inquiring on or the neighborhoods that you're inquiring within. The algorithm is doing its best job to match you with a professional that they think would be able to fit your needs based on the types of properties that you're looking for. And that is what happens. And what's interesting is that most people do not know that that's what's happening. So they might reach out, schedule an appointment, and the agent that they get linked up with is going to provide them with either a lot of information or a little bit of information in that first encounter. And that's really going to determine how you go about this relationship with the person that they're putting you in touch with. Fairly often, the person that you get put in touch with might simply just schedule an appointment with you and actually go ahead and meet you at the property before you know exactly who it is that you're meeting with. You might go into that thinking that you're actually meeting with the seller or the seller's representative. There are different ways that that person you're put in touch with should be communicating with you instead of just showing up and having you find out later who it is that you're meeting. So you want to just be aware that this is going on and understand what to look for. The best thing that should happen if you inquire on a listing and you hear back from an agent, you want an appointment scheduled. That's the reason why you sent that request or that inquiry to begin with. So whoever ends up receiving your inquiry is going to respond to you and likely just immediately try to take care of that initial request and schedule an appointment for you. Now, once that appointment is confirmed, there should be additional communications that come from that agent. That agent should attempt to get in touch with you and properly introduce who they are and where they stand in terms of this property and the transaction overall. They should make it clear to you that they would ultimately be working as your buyer's agent, and you should know who it is that you're meeting with when you show up to a property. Do not just assume that that person is the seller's rep. You always want to attend a property viewing with a buyer's agent if you can. So if you don't already have one, you're going to get linked up with one. But you do just need to know that that is what's happening when you inquire on these websites. This is pretty much always the case when you inquire. And the only way to not have this happen, where you are essentially your request is rerouted to other buyer's agents every single time you click on a property, is to identify the buyer's agent that you intend to work with. So once you can formally make a connection with a buyer's agent that you like, then you have the ability to have your buyer's agent receive all of the requests on properties that you would like to see. Or you can simply communicate directly with your buyer's agent, and your buyer's agent would be the one to go into their database and set up appointments the way we as professionals go about setting up appointments. We get through directly to the seller's representation and we reach out to them specifically, and we get you as the buyer access to that property. If you're someone who likes to use Zillow and you have been using Zillow for your home search, Zillow has a feature where after you inquire on a property and you get connected with an agent, you have the ability to tell Zillow through their surveys that follow through email or text after you click on a listing, you get to let Zillow know whether or not you like the agent that you spoke with, and you can choose to link up with that agent in your Zillow profile, and that agent can be aware of for future things that you're interested in seeing while you're on that website. So it's a very good feature that Zillow has. If you're using StreetEasy to do your apartment search, which is the other biggest New York search tool, there is no option to officially link up with an agent on that platform just yet. So when you're using that tool, you want to be very careful that you send your buyer's agent properties that you'd like to see instead of continuing to send off random requests on properties, because every single request that you send is likely going to go to a different agent. It all depends on how the algorithm is working, and if they're able to identify that you're working with an agent, they'll try to be able to keep you guys linked up. But if not, you're going to get someone new every time. This goes back to my last episode, and if you haven't watched or listened to the last episode about the buyer's agent role, I highly encourage you to do so, because this episode explains everything that a buyer's agent does for you and the actual value that you get from your buyer's agent. And it helps you understand that this is a resource that you should be choosing intentionally. Your buyer's agent is someone that you should put some thought into and do some research and decide exactly who you'd like to work with in the beginning of your home search, instead of randomly getting linked up with different people every time. You only want one buyer's agent. There is one person that is going to work best for you, and this person is going to obviously highly prioritize you once you confirm with that person that you're working together. So what you don't want is for a bunch of buyer's agents to all have met with you one time. In that case, no one's really thinking about you. Like, no one wakes up in the morning and they're like, how can I help Mary next? If there's no relationship there, you need someone that cares about you, that is interested in what you have going on, that knows your story, understands what you like and dislike, and is invested in helping you get to that point. When I say invested, it's not from a money perspective, because as you will have heard in the previous episode, most of the time, there is absolutely no cost to you to have your own buyer's agent representation. It's very, very rare that you would pay for this service. So there's nothing wrong with the fact that these websites that are targeted to consumers and viewers, like the Zillows and the StreetEasies, there's really nothing innately wrong with the fact that they are trying to put you in touch with your own agent representative, but you should have certain expectations for the reply and the communication that you're receiving from the person that they put you in touch with. So that person should be calling you, and they should be requesting time to speak with you so that you can properly understand who they are, what they do, and what the next steps are going to look like. This person should provide you with some kind of value up front in order for you to work with them. So maybe they will give you some information about the property, and they may give you some information about the process. maybe they'll tell you a little bit about condos. Or maybe if you're inquiring on a co-op, maybe they'll give you some information about some of the specific things that you would want to know about co-ops before you go view one. So you want to make sure that this agent is giving you something before we just all meet up together randomly. And an important piece of information that you want to hear from that broker is that they are a buyer's agent. That they, in this specific scenario, when it comes to you, of course, they may have plenty of their own listings, but in this particular instance where they received your request, they are on your side. They are working as your buyer's agent. And this will help you understand that this is someone that's looking to work in your best interests. And then you can confirm if that person has given you a reason to want to work with them. Usually the person that is reaching out to you is perfectly fine to work with, right? They're likely a seasoned agent in the area. They likely have done transactions within the building or very close nearby in similar property types. So there's nothing wrong with this person that's getting in touch with you, but you just want to make sure that you're receiving proper communication and that in the very beginning of your search, you're meeting with these agents. And if you do meet with more than one in the beginning, that's fine. But your goal should be to strategically choose somebody who is going to do the best job for you. And that's something that I think many people do not realize is going on when they simply click to go view a property. So how does the buyer's agent receive your inquiry when you're clicking? Like does that person come to fruition? So that agent is expecting your inquiries. They have opted into a program that is going to give them the ability to receive your inquiries. So it's either a paid service or an unpaid service. But this is a way that real estate, participating with Zillow and StreetEasy, is a way that real estate agents are able to generate clients. So this is a very client-focused business, obviously. And there's nothing malicious about the fact that there's a buyer's agent that is receiving your inquiry. This is something that they've opted into. Now it's clear to you that the person that might be reaching out to you in response to a request that you sent out is not someone that you're necessarily forced to work with. You have options. As the buyer in a transaction, you have options and you can do what you want. So how do you know that you are linked up with the best agent for you? Now that you know that if you send a property inquiry, you're likely going to be hearing back from one or multiple different buyer's agents, you should understand that you have a choice when it comes to who you'd like to work with. Just because someone reached out to you does not mean that you are required to work with them, or that that person is the gatekeeper of the apartment that you're interested in. I encourage you to have a conversation with the agents that reach out to you, offering to show you the apartments that you're interested in, and see if you can click with them. If you feel like you are getting the right information, if you feel like the person is providing some value, if you feel like you had a discussion where maybe you know more now than you did before, if you feel like the person is being open and honest with you, then they're probably going to be very good to work with. I think that you should assume that the person that's reaching out to you is going to be good to work with. I don't think I'm looking to have people operate with a new level of skepticism, but you should understand that you want to use discernment when it comes to choosing who your trusted professionals are, because your real estate agent is going to be the one that refers your loan officers to you, and they're going to be the one that refers your real estate attorneys to you as well. And you're going to want to have a very strong team behind you to ensure that you get the property that you want smoothly, efficiently, and that you successfully reach your goal. If you would like to work with me as your buyer's agent, I am happy to represent you in your purchase. I'm always open to working with new clients. You can always send me an email. My email address is christina.cremitas@elliman.com. You can view my website at christinacremitas.com and view more about me and contact me that way as well. check out my website. It's ChristinaCremitas.com. This is where you can find some more information about me. You can see some videos of myself and my team in action, and there are plenty of ways to contact me through there as well. Thank you guys again for listening and for being here for this episode. I hope that you found it valuable. If you did find it valuable, please share it with a friend. If you're listening on the podcast, please share it around with anyone who you think might benefit from hearing this information. If you're watching on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can be alerted when new episodes are released. And stay tuned for the next episode, where we are going to be talking about the best Manhattan neighborhoods to invest in right now.